for.
It is a blessing for me to be here this morning. I have the month of March. I wasn't here much. Part of my job now is going around and talking to a lot of different churches. So I felt like in March and early April, I was at a different church or a different place speaking, and it made me really miss here. The beginning of March was a rough time for me. Probably the last time I was here before April was when I had to leave out to go to Ohio because Christian's dad passed away on Sunday morning. So what's transpired in the last couple of months for me has really made me think about the term family. When people ask me about family, most recently you think about Easter. What did you do? You got together with your family. And most people do have big families, meaning genealogy family, meaning brothers and sisters. You're of the same, whatever you call it. But for me, my family's always been small as far as actual family. So this is my family. When people ask, who's your family? I tell them it's this place. And so I want to really just be on the encouraging side and share some thoughts on family this morning. Last week, Matt talked on the First Century Church that we find in Acts chapter 2 and how they were one family. They worshiped together. They ate together. They did things together. Family. So when I use the word family this morning, you're getting a grasp. Don't think mama, daddy, grandpa, grandma. That's great. When I talk about family, no, I'm referring to family here. And that's how special that truly is. Webster's definition, if you are on the Dayton Dictionary, I do not sit around and read the dictionary, but I did look up the word family to see what they say, and there's a lot of things about family. A lot more definitions than I ever thought. But one that I must say, so you, for those of you that are more studious, here's your definition for the day. A group of people united by certain convictions or a common affiliation, common fellowship. Isn't it amazing how much of a family we are here? Just sitting in the back row back there. What I love about this place is Charlie just comes down and starts bringing her books to me and opening them up and doing them. And I don't know of another place where some parent would be comfortable letting their little child go into the arms of another person down the aisle and not fear. Many a Sundays we've had Xander or Campbell or somebody, Maddox, get them just walk over a couple of seats and sit down with their family. One of my favorite things is being called Uncle Sean. That means a lot to me since I'm single and don't have kids of my own. It's great to have a family. When people ask, who's your brothers? You know, you tell them who your, they don't understand. You can say, that brother, my brother and sister. And they're like, well, what do you mean? They're not related to you. And they don't get it because they don't understand the family. It's Aunt Judy, right? Or is it Aunt Becky? Sisters. We use the terminology so interlinked. And that is awesome because isn't that what God intended when He created us, is to be one family? So this morning what I want to do is I want to take the parallel between Jesus and His family, His disciples. That's who He spent all of His time with, the majority of His time with, when He was on earth, wasn't it? Well, at least in His 30, when He was getting older in His last 3 years, you know, 30 to 33, that's who He was with. And we see Him spending so much time with that family. And I know it's not recorded a lot of the family life, but I imagine it was more than just what we saw in Scripture. I imagine they had a bond that was beyond anything, and we don't even grasp. Sometimes I wish that the Bible would have given stuff that might not be needed, because you don't have like 5,000 chapters in the Bible, but if it explained daily life, so you really got into the eyes of the disciples and Jesus and what they went through. And so this morning I want to talk to you about family. For you movie buffs, I'm not really a movie person, but I did get excited recently about a movie that came out called Furious 7. I've been a fan of the Fast and Furious franchise since it came out. A lot of us in here are fans, as a matter of fact. We had a big gathering a couple of Friday nights ago to go to the movies together. And one common theme in that whole movie, if you just look at it, I watch people driving fast cars, it's the family setting.
you know anything about who's in the movie, Paul Walker was in the movie, passed away when they were filming, so he's no longer in. So leading up to this movie, they interviewed the cast, meaning the characters, the actual actors, and they were sitting at the table that's represented in the movie. Every time in the movie, you see them come together at the end, and they're around this table eating, because they believe in the family. And I listened to them talk throughout the interview, and this lady on Good Morning America or whatever show it was, had been with them for several years. She had been there, and they're sitting at the table, and they have her, and they're literally sitting there, and they talk about what family means, and how much they became a family. And it really reflects the movie. And there's a song that was in the movie that has a lyric that I just want to share real quick. A couple of lyrics, because it explains a lot about what we think of as when we think of family and what it means. And this song is kind of a tribute to Paul Walker. They show a lot of scenes in the video of Paul Walker. It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you about it when I see you again. First, you both go out on your way, and the vibe is feeling strong. And what's small turned to a friendship turned to a bond. And that bond will never be broken. The love will never be lost. And when brotherhood comes first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own, when that line had to be drawn. And that line is what we reach, so remember me when I'm gone. How can we not talk about family when family is all we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you're gone. Be with me for this last ride. Family is exactly explaining that. We have a bond that cannot be broken. We have been through ups and downs in this congregation. And so this morning we're going to do a little parallel between Jesus and his disciples and the family at Echo Hills. And that's going to be your meat and potatoes for your lesson. I know it's outside the box. I am not your normal preacher, so next week we get into the more knowledgeable speaker, so just bear with me. Jesus, disciples, you think they went through good times together? What do you think?
Some.
I say they went through some good times. When I imagine, I'm just going to throw these out, but I can look at them because you know them all well. But I imagine that when they were at the wedding in Cana, I imagine that was a good time. Pretty cool, isn't he? Jesus would start off with a bang, you know, and we're out of line. He goes and does his magic stuff back there, and boom. I say that's a good time. They're celebrating. I don't know a lot about weddings. I don't go to much, but I've never been to a wedding where it's boring or it's no fun, right? At least not Echo Hill's family's weddings. I don't know how outside the world does it, but I know when I was at J.J. and Lisa's wedding, we were in Alhambra, were we? When we were out in New York for Blake and Sarah's wedding, we were celebrating family. All of our family, we loved that time. Imagine when the feeding of 5,000, that was a pretty good time, even though they were a little stressed, weren't they? Oh man, I'm going to feed all these people. It's great they're here, but what are we going to do? Probably a little stressful, but looking back, I'd say, that was a good time. Imagine the disciples seeing Jesus heal people, seeing him change lives, pretty good time. Jesus washing their feet, so that was a good time. And then, ultimately, you know, for them, seeing Jesus after he raised from the dead, wow. I mean, they get through so much together, experienced so much together, and those are good times they reflected on, isn't it? And I think about our family here, and I think about I can just stop what you're going for hours. And I'm not going to share everything that you think about, and just your. When we talk about family, it's not just inside this building. We've been through a lot of good times together. And it's such a parallel. And so when you think family, you think about good times. But you know what? No family is perfect. Jesus and his family didn't always get along. When you say they had some ups and downs, they had some bad times. I'm pretty sure the juice, the scary thing, that was a bad time. We got that in our family, don't we? We got some bad times. I imagine that Peter's denial of Christ, pretty bad time. Relationships broken. Relationships hurt. trust gone. We don't know all the things that went on, what were said outside the words of the Bible, but I imagine there was a lot of dissension amongst them. How could you do that? He's my brother. How could you turn your back on Jesus? We've been with him, man. Why could you do that? Sure, there was some, the other disciples, I don't know this for a fact, sure, they got on to Peter. You know? But think about in our family here, I think about something that's very special to me. Bob was gone during the month of March. We had a family issue arise in our congregation. And because we're family, we sometimes don't want to step on each other's toes, but we were kind of having a little knocking of heads, knocking of minds. But you know what's amazing about the family here at Azuca Hills is we didn't just let that destroy us. We came together, we talked it out, and we loved on each other. And we overcame some dissension and some decisions that we felt like we weren't communicating with. And that's family, folks. No church family, no family is perfect. That's how you overcome it. And so Christ went through things. Did he not overcome it with Peter? Remember, they're all out on the beach fishing, whatever they're doing, way too early in the morning for me. But they're having breakfast, fish for breakfast, I don't know about that. And there they are, all the disciples, and Jesus sits down with Peter and mends that relationship. Remember, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Do you love me? They got over it. They loved each other. Judas, that one didn't quite get mended quite well, but it goes on. Then you think about tough times. Think about things that they might have gone through. Imagine in the garden. That was a tough time. Jesus with a lot on his shoulders. They're there with him. Now, granted, they quite didn't grasp it, they fell asleep. But there was a lot going on in that garden. Tensions were high. Peter got a little too much behind the emotion, chopped off an ear. Tough times. I imagine the crucifixion. Tough time for the disciples. Man, the guy we've been around. Now he's going to die on the cross because people don't like him? What's next for us? Where do we go? Our family leader's kind of like leaving us. What do we do? Tough times. And then I think about here. We lose loved ones, don't we? People are dear at heart. And what happens to our family strengthens around us. We lose a loved one that's in our actual family. And our family comes together and says, we're right here. We go through things that sometimes nobody knows we're going through, and people in our family come to our side and our rescue. 3 o'clock in the morning, who do you pick up the phone and call? Well, maybe your family, your real family's not around, you call your family. That, my friends, is what family is about. And I think the more we look at that and say, hey, you know what? Jesus had that exact relationship when he was on earth with his disciples. And we have that exact relationship. Are we all going to agree with everything? No. I guarantee you right now, I could split this room in 5 seconds over one topic. It's easy. Because we're human. The disciples were split several times. They got into arguments in it. Well, I'm greater than you. Right? They got into that discussion. We get into that. But we're family. And when you stop and you think of things where it gets you through life and what makes you feel joyous and family, it's family. I'll be honest with you. This is something I never thought I would share in a public setting. It's something I never thought I'd share at 37 years old. As you know, Kristen is my girlfriend, soon to be fiance. And when you talk like that, wow, that's scary, isn't it? Real scary. No, it's not scary. I'm not scared at all. But we talk about our future for what we think about for a wedding. And I share this because you're my family. I told her, I said, I don't want a big wedding. I don't want a traditional wedding. I want my family to be there to celebrate. I think back when my dad passed away, and I think Kristen's dad passed away, I think it was very similar. And it was, we wanted family to be there to help us through our rough times. We wanted family there to share in the good times of what our dad meant to them. We wanted to share with our family. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to them, in the book of John, kind of goes through the first 12 chapters or so with a lot of stories of like healing people and feeding the 5,000. But then he gets into where he starts talking to them. Listen to this. In John chapter 14, 15 through 21, and then in John 15, 9 through 17, he kind of just gives them some encouragement. He's talking about, he's talking to his family, his disciples. And just listen to what he says. He says, "If you love me," this is John chapter 14, starting verse 15, "if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps my commands, keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them." And then he continues on. Jesus is saying a lot here. And he's skipping over to John chapter 15, 9 through 17. He says, "As the Father has loved me so, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And you can put family there for today. "You are my friends, family, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you may ask in the name of the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." Talking to his families, talking to his disciples, they give him an encouragement, saying, "Look, I'm going to be with you. I am with you. Because you're with me, you're with my Father. Love each other. I know that you would lay your life down for me because you have that love. And when we sit in this room, that's the love we share. We know that we've got each other's backs. We know that ultimately this is not the resting place for our family. We're going to join them and our Lord and Savior in heaven as one big family." And God doesn't say it's going to be easy. Jesus definitely showed us it's not going to be easy. But one thing that sticks through is family. I'm going to close out with another lyric from a song. There's a group called Need to Breathe. I mentioned them a lot to my friends. I've listened to them all the time. And I want to share this because this is what I want you to remember. We're going to go through good times, bad times, tough times, happy times, sad times, laughing times, crying times. We're going to go through it. I'm going to get mad at you, you're going to get mad at me. You're going to get mad at the person next to you. We might even split this room up some days and be like, "Ugh." But you know what? We're going to love each other. And in this group, Need to Breathe, there's two brothers, Bo and Bear, Reinhardt. And they had been doing their Christian music tour and doing this. And they got to a point where their family was having trouble. They got at each other. They started getting competitive and writing lyrics. They started letting all the stress of the music business wear on them. And they took a break. And they split ways. I didn't know this. I'm glad that I'm reading this story to you now. Because it would be a sad day if I needed to breathe but no longer. I turned my radio off. They split. So much that they were so mad at each other that they weren't talking. Sound like things in your own family, sound like your own family. And Johnny, I want to talk to you. You hurt my family, so I'm ignoring you for weeks. We've been there. And so there was this tension between them. And so the one brother says, "You know what? I'm going to try to reconcile this. He's my brother." Now, actually, they're brothers. And he goes to him, he's written this letter, and he says, "Look, I know we're not doing well with the music thing, but you're my brother, and I don't want that to end. And we need to reconcile for the sake of that we're brothers. The other brother felt the same way, and so they reconciled, and they brought back their group. In their most recent album they released, which has some great music, the one brother wrote this song called Brother, about his brother. Great song. And in the lyrics, this is what he says to him. And it's kind of like his words of encouragement to his other brother. And this is what I want you to think about when you think about our family. So I'm going to substitute the word brother, because the song is called Brother for Family. Family, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I can be the one you call when you're low. Family, let me be your fortress. When the night winds are driving on, be the one to light the way and bring you home. Christ said that to his disciples. He said, I'm your shelter. I'm here. Follow me. I'm here when you need me. I pledge to you guys as a family that I'm here when you need me. And I know you're there when I need you. Just as I know Christ is there for me when I need him. Amen. That's what's awesome about our family. So it's a different lesson this morning. It's encouraging, and hopefully it uplifted you. And then when we get up from here, we talk like we always do and realize that we're a family. The greatest thing, though, is that this family is in here because of one reason. We all are in here for one purpose. We're all united in him. Amen?
Amen.
We wouldn't be in this room if it wasn't. I wouldn't know you if it wasn't for Christ. So let's never forget the fact of what he did for us. Ernest knocked it out of the park today. I'm tempted to go back and watch anime just to find out about Dragon Ball Z. I have no clue what that is. He brought it home because he said a simple message this morning in our time around the table. He said that there was this guy, Goku. Hey, look, I learned a lot about him this morning. Came down from another planet because his planet was destroyed to save this world. This Earth. That was full of bad people. Sounds like a real life movie, don't it? I mean, somebody's going to become Superman for you other non-anime people. Here's Superman, flies in to save the world using his power. And we're in this room today because we did have a superhero, Jesus. We did have an anime dude, Jesus. He came to this earth and died on this cross, and why he did it is to save us from the evil that exists in this world. It's out there. It's even tried to get into these walls. We try to keep it out, but that evil creeps in, doesn't it? He saved us. And that's why we're here this morning. And if you are not part of the ultimate family, the family that's going to be with ever, that's to be with Jesus in heaven, then I encourage you this morning to take that. But I know most of you are. It's because we're a family, and I know you. You got something like mom? Share it. We'll pray about it. We'll hug you. We'll love you. We'll talk it out. If you're mad, say, hey, man, I got a grief. Air it out. That's family. So, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing if you have any needs, or sit there and raise your hand, or tell me afterward, or tell somebody.